and the new leader of the Labour Party, Andy Burnham, emerges from number 10 Downing Street, where we're told he will make an announcement regarding his government's policy on cars and motorsport in Britain.
Hello. Well, I'm Prime Minister now, which is great. And I'm a man who's committed to change. And so my plan is to share the riches of the motor industry and UK motorsport all over the UK. First of all, going forward, the British Grand Prix will be split into four smaller events. So instead of racing on one 4-mile circuit located in one place, the event will take place on 4 1-mile circuits on existing tracks in Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland and South West England. Far more democratic. And I'm committed to distributing the profits that we make from this amazing industry around the country. For instance, car manufacturing in Britain has long been centred on one region, the West Midlands. And so, in order to empower the regions, we will be moving the towns of Solihull and West Bromwich in their entirety to the northwest, where from now on they will be known as the North West Midlands. Finally, something I've been thinking about very hard: the Goodwood Festival of Speed. Whilst being good in name, it has been too south-centric for far too long. I intend to shift the focus of this world-leading automotive event to the north. So from now on, it will be known as the Great Eccleston Festival of Speed. Because, of course, great is better than good. Winter is coming. The King in the North.
The King in the North.
Hello, welcome to Gareth Jones on Speed. I'm Gareth, he's Alex.
Hi.
Oh, you've got a soft voice today, Mr. Hi. Guy.
Well, I always introduce myself as with hi.
You're a gentle soul.
I'm a gentle soul. I'm a tired soul, but I'm a gentle soul.
You've been busy, have you?
Yes.
How many films did you make today?
None today, just a couple of scripts and some logistical thingying, but last week was 2. The week before that was, hang on, which calendar am I looking at? I've got 2. I've got my one and I've got the work one. Last week was 2, week before that was 1, and week before that was 1.
We're talking about the films that you make for Drive Tribe, right? And they're not, yes, just sort of one camera, one pass. Hello, I'm in a car, look at me. I get out of the car at the end. These are proper little cut movies in the style,
yeah,
of big production, right? Big effort.
Yeah, we're lucky, or I'm lucky, to have joined a big old team. So we've got full-time production. Obviously, we've got Richard and Izzy and Tiff Nadell does bits for us, and we're sort of looking around for people and such. And, you know, I started 3 and a bit months ago now, and part of the thing is, right, we need to up production. Now we've got more sort of bodies on the ground. So, yes, been making a lot of things, and it's been quite interesting and fun, sort of learning how a new business and a new channel works. And we're trying a few things. So we put out Richard Roder and Norton Manx R, which is the new reinvented Norton.
I saw this because, yes, I have skin in the game with Norton. I'm interested because I went out there and know all about TVS.
It's really cool. And so we got Richard on the bike and he told a lovely story, but then we tried a sort of potted history of Norton to go out the week after, and we discovered that the audience did not like that. But it's really not going to stop us from doing more because they're quite fun and easy to make. But
when you say the audience didn't like that, they tell you they didn't like it or they just don't watch?
Yeah, just if you scroll to Drive Tribe and go on the videos, if you, yeah, yeah,
Both of those things. And they didn't like it because it's motorbikes and dry tow should only be about four wheels.
No, no. Really? I mean, the review of the Norton's doing really, really well. Really pleased with it.
They didn't like it because it's a new Norton.
No, the review of the film just did really well. I think it was just the potted history and the fact that it's something a bit different. And, you know, we're going to try a few more because one and done is foolish. But, you know, I'm not going to commission 30 of them and start just sitting and writing. And I'd be ears deep in library books and connecting dots on cork boards or anything like that. But, yeah, we'll do a few more, like, as and when they seem relevant.
There are many different versions of Gareth Jones on Speed. The kind of things that we do, we have conversations remotely, we have conversations together, we go to sporting events and cover those, we go to exhibitions, we interview people. There are live versions of the show, there are video versions of the show. It can be many things, in the same way that the third season, was it, of Strange New Worlds, the Star Trek thing, was really kind of all over the place, going from comedy to music.
It was, but it was
horror.
Brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah.
What is it? Which one did I watch the other night? I watched the one where they all turned into Vulcans and I had a lovely time.
It's hilarious. You know, you can do that, right? You can do that within the sphere of what you do. You must extend, you must explore, you must find new ways of telling the same old story, because every time we review a car, it's going to be usually a car that we admire or are interested in, I think is valid, and we have a lot to say about. So, hello, here's the car, I'm driving it, here's the facts. End line, out, right?
Yeah.
It sounds simple.
It sounds simple, but it isn't.
Yeah. List the process for me of making films, right? So you have to start with the idea, right?
I don't think it would have changed too much since you were doing it on telly, but yeah, it's idea. See what works, see what the team likes. We've got someone who knows the channel inside out, so I can go, I've had this great idea, and they go, yeah, but no one will watch it. Oh, okay. Then book things in, script things, get all the various bits needed going. We have call sheets, which is lovely. Get those together so we all know where we're going and there's risk assessment.
Call sheet, I should explain, those not in telly. That's your list of who's going and where they're going to be and what time they're required and what you're doing. Yeah.
Yes.
The Bible.
I always ask the team, like, I know the call sheet's there and I know the script's in it because I wrote the script. But what time and what's the postcode? Just get it over text. Then, yeah, turn up, do the thing, say words, film things, finish filming things, drive home, and then the boys have already done the hard work of actually filming it, have the even harder work of deciphering all the waffle and turning it into a lovely thing. And then, depending on, you know, there's various approval processes, so, you know, you do a run to make sure there's nothing inaccurate and make sure that people are pronouncing the right words, and if we need to do VO patches, then send those out to various talent to make sure that they're happy with what they get.
Hang on. VO patches, in case you need to repair anything that was missaid by a new piece of voiceover.
Yes, I'm
reducing the nomenclature.
Sorry.
I know what you mean. Yeah, but yeah.
I forget that I'm talking to you, not everyone else.
Yeah, the audience. Hello, everyone else.
And yeah, so if for example, a power figure's wrong or, you know, so you got the power figure, but the host says brake horsepower rather than horsepower.
Yeah.
Or 0 to 60 rather than 0 to 62, we just make sure that it's a nice, easy one. Sometimes it's very skillfully inserted. Sometimes it can sound a little jarring, but I'd rather be slightly jarring than inaccurate, frankly.
Getting it right first time on camera, or getting it right on camera and not having to fix things later on, is, you know, that's all across television. Have you got a dentist that's just moved in next door to you?
No, there's a moped doing moped things.
Oh, sounds like a dentist drill.
It's rush hour. It's sort of the tail end of rush hour in central London. So it's
I'm chased by the police now.
Oh, and now there's some crime. If you might be able to hear the crime.
Yeah, I love the crime.
There we are.
Right,
lots of lovely crime. Delicious crime.
Well,
thank you, criminals of London. I'd mute myself while you talk.
I was trying to explain. Thank you for the mute. I was trying to explain about, you know, getting things right on camera and getting it wrong sometimes. I remember mid-90s, I was making a lot of children's television to be shown on Virgin Atlantic aircraft.
Nice!
Oh, yeah. They invested in programmes specially for kids, made solely for that flight. It was wonderful, you know, did this for like 12 years. And I would often find myself filming at theme parks, American theme parks, all the big theme parks.
That sounds like a good job, Gareth.
It was a great job. But honestly, having to do five passes on the Hulk roller coaster in 90 degrees heat, you know, a pass with the camera on the thing with me, and then a pass with the camera on a reverse, and a pass with cameras following me around. Man, that was hard work. It took me like an hour and a half to recover from that one. So I was so unwell. But that wasn't the worst thing. The worst thing, talking about nomenclature and the like and figures, was if I worked in the presence of the Disnoids.
Ah, yes. The House of Mouse requires everything to be perfectly pronounced, yeah. And the magic must be kept.
Exactly that. You can't say, you know, in shorthand, well, here at Disneyland, oh, no, this is Walt Disney's Disney World of Adventure, everybody's welcome, or some ridiculous phrase like that that you have to use. And they'd be interrupting me in my flow. But
yeah,
you learn to take notes as a presenter, yeah. Right? That's one of the things. You get outside yourself and you apply that to television. I think you do a wonderful job. I saw you driving a rather nice Porsche and really enjoying it.
Oh, bless you, chap. It was a very lovely day, that.
You look super comfortable. And that was so rewarding to see.
I mean, it's been a while since I've done it full time, because I was at Carfax for 5 years and left there in 2017. I was at Motor One for 8 months,
yeah,
because it was not the job for me. It was constant shoots, and then when I went freelance, I did bits for Carfax, but it wasn't loads, and I did some corporate bits, but yeah, it now being the cut and thrust of every day is quite a lot. I can't recover quite as quickly from shoots as I used to.
True that. I did some filming for Mercedes-Benz trucks recently. I haven't done any pieces to camera for a little while, and I was a bit anxious, nervous beforehand. I hope I can still do the energy thing that I used to do. And after like the first couple of takes, it's like, oh, yeah, this again. I like doing this. I'm happy doing this. I'm comfortable doing this. But that's good.
Tell you what, though, I always thought my short-term memory was really good. But because I haven't used it properly in a while, so the script, God bless the team, they give you a printed out script. Normally it's just on my phone. And I find myself going, yeah, I can do that. And then I get halfway through a take and go, I can't remember any of the words. What has happened? So I need to flex that muscle a little more.
That short-term memory comes and goes. You know, I used to be able to learn stuff and then immediately forget it so I can learn something else. Yeah. But these days it takes me a week to learn one thing. But I get that. Listen, while we're talking about media, before we get onto the meat and two veg of this programme, I want to discuss a video I saw on YouTube.
Yes.
Have you had a chance to see this? I sent you the link.
Yes, you did. You seem to really like it. I find it weird, so I need you to tell me why you really like it.
Okay, let's explain what it is. I don't really even know how I came across this. It was probably a recommendation, but it's Fiat Italy's reveal campaign, I think that's what they call it.
Yes.
For their new smallish SUV or medium sized SUV, which is called the Grizzly.
Yes, the now, Grizzly.
I mean, we'll come to the name thing in a moment. It's a frankly ridiculous and therefore genius name for a car. I'll come back to that. But the premise of the video is that this guy walks into a registry office in Italy, and in Italian, the whole thing's in Italian. There's an English version that's dubbed out there. Don't watch it.
Now watch the Italian one.
Original Italian one with English subtitles. It's joyful. And it turns out that the guy who's actually in the video is Olivier Francois, who is the CEO of Fiat and the chief marketing officer for Stellantis.
Yes, he's done a lot of them. I think he's taking it on board that, you know, it rests with him that these things work. So if he doesn't get it right, then he's knackered. So he's like, no, I'm going to do this. We don't need an actor to convey the message. Take it from the horse's mouth. Buck stops with me. I like that. That was smart.
What happens is he walks into the registry office and he explains that he wants to register the birth of someone new, and it's called Grizzly, and it's got sisters called Pandina and 500 or something like this. You know, it's witty, but it's delivered in a kind of tender, honest way. There's a texture to it. I mean, my favourite bit is where he spells out the word Grizzly in Italian, which is something like G-R-E, Zeta Zeta L-Y, Grizzly. And it's charming. There's a tone about this film where he then goes out in the car and discusses the car which is a perfectly ordinary Stellantis shared platform sort of thing. But he discusses it with all the people who seem to be in the neighbourhood or are interested in the car. And he's quite nice about it. He gives all the sort of PR blurb, but it's done in a really disarming way. And I showed it to my son, Indian, and he said, oh, it's really nice. It makes you feel really nice about the car. Boom.
Yeah, see, that's...
That was my reaction.
That's the thing. So when you sent it, went, oh, this is amazing. I was like, it's just a bloke talking about features. But I watched it again before we jumped on. And I was like, I do get it. It's very earnest. And it is very like, look, this is my company and I need to explain what these things are.
Yeah.
And it does flow really nicely. I guess I'm just one of many people who would be, you know, exposed to fast cuts and movement and excitement. Yeah. And really, when you boil down to it, you know, it takes a very boring thing, registering a name, like Italian bureaucracy, which is quite an incredible thing.
Famously.
Famously, yeah, slick and easy and not remotely complicated. and makes it quite charming and nice and slow-paced, which I guess, you know, the Grizzly comes with up to 148 horsepower, so it's not exactly a supercar. But yeah, it's a very sweet film. It's compared to a lot of the stuff that's out there, which is, you know, fast paced or like, oh, if you buy this car, women are going to want to go to lick you, and your job's going to give you more money, and all of your shirts will be uncreased.
I want that car. Yeah, have a lifestyle, buy our product.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. This is so very self-aware, very disarming, and utterly charming. Right, the name Grizzly.
It's a bear, isn't it? Like a panda bear.
Exactly. I had a very interesting conversation. I always believed that a panda wasn't a bear, that it was a panda, right? Mm. I always thought that it were closer to raccoons or lemurs or some other primate. But no, apparently panda bears are actually bears.
Yeah.
And so this is why they called the car the Grizzly. It's the draw relation with the panda or the pandina. Do you know about this?
Pandina. Is that what the Italian for panda? Let me just do a quick Google. Apparently, panda is il panda. Okay, so let's do Italian to English Google Translate.
Yeah. Pandina, little panda.
I think that's what the panda in Italian is, il panda.
Il panda. So pandina means little panda,
I guess so. I don't know. Someone out there, let us know. Correct our woeful Italian.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. But my gosh, it made me think, okay, if they're going with the whole bear thing, there aren't many options because the grizzly, as it turns out, is a subspecies of the North American brown bear.
Ah, I've found pandina.
What have you got? Go on.
New Fiat Panda will remain petrol-powered people's car. Key details about the future replacement of the current Fiat Panda, dubbed Pandina, is in its home market of Italy. It's been revealed, blah, 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 blah. Super
right,
mini.
So it is the Pandina from now on now. Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. The Grande Panda becomes the Panda. The little one becomes the Pandina, I suppose. And then you got the Grizzly. So what other bears? You know, North American doesn't work, brown doesn't work, black bear doesn't work. You can't call the car the Fiat Black. Yeah, that would
well, you remember the remember that when the VW Up launched, there were two special editions in Europe. There was the white Up and the Yields, which is why in the UK it was the Up White and the Up Black.
Wow. Good luck to them.
Yeah.
So you'd have to rely on names of other famous bears then. So you could have a Fiat Paddington.
Yeah, I mean, Skoda has the Kodiak.
Oh, that's a bear.
That's a bear.
Yeah, how about Winnie, Baloo? These are all up for grabs. Smokey, Teddy, of course, the Fiat Teddy. That's going to be the little one, surely. Bjorn, of course. Now, unfortunately, that's already taken, but that is Norse for bear.
It's by ABBA.
Orson, which is Latin and French. Ursus, of course, Latin.
Ursula. Urso is Italian
Lamborghini.
For bear.
That's right, yeah.
Well, it's the Urus is Lamborghini, but Urso is the Italian for bear.
Yeah, Ursa, yeah. Ursa Major, the great bear. Mm. Yeah, but there's one that they've missed out. You could call it one of them the Oliver, couldn't you? Oliver Bearman, he's making a name in Formula One.
Oh, very good.
He's Fiat connected.
Wouldn't that have to be a Ferrari that no one's really allowed to see?
Yeah, the Murder Man. But honestly, I think it's a work of genius calling a car a Grizzly. It's a ridiculous name for a car. And if yes. you're building a car that is, we don't have to say it here, 75% the same as all its other Stellantis siblings, apart from styling.
I mean, there will be some commonality between it and maybe some Peugeot yeah. and Citroën and Jeep yeah. products.
And probably a Lancia in future and an Alfa and all yeah. of them, right? You know, so to make it stand out, you at least give it a ridiculous name, right? I think that's a very clever yes. idea. And I'm interested in that car. I like the way it looks. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it looks, well, I mean, to me, it looks a bit sort of generic box. It's not very exciting, but it's, you know, if my choice was that or a Jeep something, I'd go for that. It's not really my speed, but it is quite nice.
I'm reminded of a song, a Christmas song that we wrote for Gareth Jones on Speed a few years ago called A Car Called Christmas. I'd drive a car called Christmas. I wouldn't drive a car called Hashtag One, but I would drive a car. I can't remember the lyrics of the song. Originality is my business. I've got the name for our new car. We've got a car at Christmas. It's the best name for a car by far. I'd drive a car called Christmas. Grizzly may be the most ridiculous name for a car I've heard since I thought you should call a car Christmas. Anyway.
I think of other silly car names.
Oh, well,
I mean, the Mazda Bongo Friendly just wins.
That gets a mention in that song.
Excellent.
As does the Topo BJ.
It's not.
And when my nickname was Topo for a while,
oh,
to certain
hello.
Friends, that was super complicated. Oh, the Mazda Marathon. Oh, well, actually, there was a car released as the Mazda Long Run in Japan. They wanted to call it the Marathon. We got lost in translation. The Mazda Long Run.
Oh, God.
Car names can be cavalier, like the Polish Tarp and Ponca, or the Mazda Bongo Friendly, and the Gaylord Gladys. AMC had issues with Gremlin, Ford pushed that probe too far. Mitsubishi came up with Topo Coffee. Is that a candy or a fish or a goddamn car? Morris had a car called Isis, but that is not the champion, because Daimler and Geely call any baby smart. Hashtag one. Smart. Hashtag one. Car called smart, hashtag one. But I drive a car called Christmas, and I'm an engineer, not fueled by diesel, gas, a battery, but power by a dozen deer. But hey, right, new cars launched. We haven't got the Grizzly in this country yet, and we're not going to get it till next year, I believe.
Probably, yeah.
But weren't you in the land of where all new cars are shown going up a hill recently?
Yes, I was at the Goodwoods, the goodest of woods, for a big old garden party, and it was blooming delightful. I was very lucky to be a guest of the fine folk at Bentley, and I enjoyed their monolith overlooking the hill. It was an odd one, because I was sort of running around doing lots of things. So I was doing Drive Tribe socials, and I had to go and see people and have meetings and be terribly grown up. I was a guest on the Driven podcast with my man John Markar, because I used to be on that quite a bit, and I'm not anymore. But I thought,
big up, John.
Stop. Yeah, we love John. Stop by and have a natter. I had a look at a lot of stuff. So I had a look at the TWR Supercat.
Oh, yes, because you were close to this project. You were given an opportunity to look at this project a little while back, weren't you?
Yeah, I've had a nose at it in various guises, but I haven't done anything with that. But, yeah, it will be featured soon on the Drive Tribe channel. I shall not be driving it.
The backstory is that this is Tom Walkinshaw's son, who is...
Yeah, well, the backstory behind it is kind of fascinating. So Tom Walkinshaw's son is an engineer and he makes cars go fast. That's what he likes doing. And he met a chap on a rally of like one of those, we have fast cars, let's have fun rallies. And they started working together to build, I think the first car was an Alfa Romeo 4C, just make this thing absolutely mental. And they had a lot of fun together and their sort of relationship grew and they were friends. And then they said, well, why don't we bring back TWR? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And they got a crack team on board, sort of culminating in Magnus Walker off of Porsches and Hats and Kaisel Salim off of 3D Design. So Magnus had apparently wanted to do a sort of outlaw XJS for a while. He had Kaisel in mind to design it. And yeah, between the two of them and obviously the team at TWR, they've made this monstrous supercharged V12 XJS. And like, it's the first time I've ever looked at an XJS and gone,
Yeah. I always struggled with the original XJS first came out. I like the later Ford versions. And this is a proper supercat. It looks like the one that... what was his name in the new Avengers? Brody? No, he wasn't called Brody. What was he? He played by Gareth Hunt, the actor. Didn't he have one?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. I think
it was either him or Steed had a... Oh, no, he had an XJC, didn't he, Steed? That's right. Oh, yes.
Well, he drove a blower in the original Avengers, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But I think there was an XJS of some kind. I'm pretty sure Gareth Hunt drove it. I forget. It was a long time ago. But it looks terrific. And my gosh, it's got performance, isn't it, that thing?
660 horsepower.
It needs more.
Which is quite a lot. 538 pounds and feet.
I keep having to say this, Alex. It's not enough.
I know. It's not. Frankly, it's not enough.
Please correct them on this. I'm sorry. They need more. Whatever it is.
Oh, yes. More, please. Definitely more. But yeah, it's by all accounts, it's rather lovely. 5.6 litres of supercharged V12, which is just mental. But yeah, I had a good nose round it. The new car is... So they had there was a silver one development car doing the rounds, and now there's a sort of purpley one. The colour is fuchsia, which I very much like.
Fuchsia. That is the correct way. Fuchsia.
Yes.
Oh, I like fuchsia, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, it just looks stunning. Gus, I'm not around to have a go, but it will be in good hands, fear not. What else do I see? What else to have a look
at? Well, hang on a minute. Let's not avoid the effluent in the room. Not effluent, I'm sorry, that's the wrong term completely. But the truth is, you went up the hill in one hell of a car.
I did a cheeky ask. I took over Drive Tribe's Instagram for the day and said, while I'm here, I may as well just fire off some stories. Why not?
Good lad.
Like, I'm not going to put in much effort, but I will be there. So I was just taking pictures of things, and I messaged a couple of friends saying, I don't suppose you've got any passenger slots going up the hill tomorrow. One would have worked, but I needed to be somewhere else when I was supposed to go up. One said, oh, maybe. And another said, no. And then at 7:20 morning of, the one that said no went, 4:30 supercar run, you're in a Valkyrie. And I went, excellent, thank you. Yes, it's very good.
Now, which Valkyrie was this? The road going, the VR, or it wasn't the race car, right?
It wasn't the AMR, it wasn't the LM, it was the sort of the coupe, the Valkyrie, the one that we
the
sort of
basic
know
popular
love.
Plus.
Yeah. You know, not many options.
Steel wheels.
Yeah.
Non-body coloured bumpers.
Yeah, oh, right? it was terrible. Awful. Just awful. I thought free paint colour black or something, I don't know.
Who is driving?
Darren Turner.
Get the trousers off your mantelpiece.
Yeah.
He's good, isn't he?
Darren's a good egg. He's a good egg. We've hung out a bit. He's a very nice boy. Yeah, so I was due to go on. And as you are well aware, Goodwood runs on Goodwood time. So there had been an incident on the hill, which meant my 4:30 became 5:30. That's okay, because that gave me enough time to run up to the Porsche stand and have a good look at the Toy Story 5 Porsches and be given a guided tour by Jay Ward from Pixar, who is also a very lovely
boy. Hang on, wait, what were the Toy Story 5 Porsches?
So Porsche did 3 911s painted up and sort of themed around Jesse, Woody and Buzz.
Oh, right. I missed this entirely.
And they're really cool and they're covered in really lovely details. Oh. They're mega. Do look them up. So I had a good tour of those. Anyway, yeah, it ran down and I was like, okay, well, let's do this thing. And because I've never gotten in one before, I was supposed to drive one years ago and then things were delayed and then just didn't happen. And when you look at it, you can see there's loads of clear air and there's loads of holes in it because it's all aero and it's lightweight and it's all carbon. But you don't appreciate like the tub. So you open the doors and there are these tiny, thin little carbon things. And then you get in, but you've got to crawl over a sort of like fold yourself over about foot and a half of carbon tub.
Yeah.
And then you get onto the seat, which is basically on the bulkhead, and then slide yourself down. And then you're just in this tiny bubble. Like your feet sit, when you're on your arse, your feet are almost above your bum.
Right, yeah.
Because it's a Formula One design.
That's Adrian Newey. He brought that to F1. It's his hallmark.
It's the best way to drive it. And there's a little screen in the middle that you can see how much power's in the high voltage battery. And Darren was saying this is basically the worst situation for a Valkyrie because you want to turn the air conditioning on and you want to use things. But then if you don't run the engine, the battery will run out and the car gets very cross and then you've got to recharge it and it's all very difficult. So you've got to sort of keep it revving and then not have aircon on. It's all very silly. And we were driving with the doors up because it was... In case you hadn't noticed, it's been quite warm in the UK recently. It's been a little toasty.
I hadn't noticed, no.
And, we got to the start line and it was phenomenal. It was it's otherworldly fast because, you know, there are light cars and there are powerful cars. The twain very rarely meet because if you have lots of power, the thing to house the power tends to be quite heavy because if you've got lots of power, you want plush leather seats and you want sat nav and you want air conditioning that will never falter and you want this and you want that. Or if you have a light car, you are aware that there will be sacrifices, so it'll be a bit bumpy or a bit uncomfortable and you won't have, you know, you'll have a fan if you're lucky, stuff like that, right? Whereas in this case you've got no weight and over 1,000 horsepower.
You see, I don't think that's enough. 1,000 horsepower, you probably need more than that.
Yeah, even more than that. I'm trying to find the actual weight figure. 1,270 kilos dry.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. Which isn't nothing, but a Lotus Emira is heavier than that.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
But a Lotus Emira now has 400 horsepower, 420 horsepower, something like that. So it kind of takes off like a stuck pig. And it just doesn't stop. So he had it in track mode and he had it with sort of various traction control things, doing traction control things. And off the start line, you know, he wasn't fighting it, but he was, because he doesn't fight these things. He just controls them with style.
Nicely put.
And he bounces from place to place. And like he was busy. And the fascinating thing was like how much vibration there was in the car. Because normally this is damped out, right? It's removed. You have, you know, wibbly engine mounts and you have dampers. So the driver and the passengers don't feel anything. In this case, because the engine is bolted to the chassis and you are sitting about 2 inches from the bulkhead on pads...
You're bolted to the block, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, like, you can feel this massive V12 just buzz, and every time it does something dramatic, you feel it all the way through your body. Like, you feel it all the way from your spine down to your legs, down to your feet. Your hands are buzzing with it, and the noise in the cabin is just, it's a barrage. It's an absolute barrage of noise and, everything. But you can see how responsive it is, because you tip into the first corner, and we're doing God knows how much speed. I wasn't looking at that, because I think I might have gotten scared. But it just tips in and goes, like, how communicative and how it does what it does. Because the amount of time and testing, because this is a car that needs to feel like a Le Mans race car.
Yeah.
It needs to work when you've left it for a bit, which admittedly, like, Veyron did that kind of better, because the brief was 1,000 horsepower, starts every time, does this, does that. But in this, because it's got this 6.5-litre V12 and a very complicated Formula One hybrid system, you know, there are intricacies to it. This is like cutting edge of technology to get to 1,000 horsepower. Mm. Veyron's 1,800 kilos, got a massive engine, loads of turbos. This is hybrid and very silly. People buy this because they want an F1 car.
Yeah,
That's basically what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's about as close as you can get, really, in terms of performance. It will lap would lap Silverstone quicker than an F1 car. That, I think, was their target, wasn't it? Or was that the Red Bull RB17? Maybe they both did.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, one of them is. I saw that go up the hill quite quick.
Quicker than a Valkyrie?
It looked quite fast, I mean, the twin test with those two would be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
What it did teach me, though, is that while it would be nice to drive it, I want to drive it on a circuit for 3 laps and say, I've driven this, it was excellent, have the keys back.
Yeah.
before you kill yourself have or it, launch yourself into orbit.
I felt the same way this week or last week. I drove a Donkervoort P24 RS.
Oh, yes. We loved them. They did kind of Caterhams.
Yeah, well, it's Caterham plus, 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 plus. I mean, it's a hypercar and a supercar suit. 600 horsepower, 780 kilos, wildly fast. And I was on the road. And I got there and I was like, okay, I'm on the wrong side of the car. I was on a shoot day before, so I was a little bit tired. I've got to remember 1,000 words, convey them to the camera, and then I got in it, and it was in its most sort of inert setting, 400 horsepower, and just went, oh, this is quite a lot. Everything about this is a lot, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm, oh, God. And then they were like, oh, no, turn it up to 500 horsepower. It's even better. And I'm like, better? And then 600 horsepower, and it was savage. Every time I got in it throughout the day, I kind of... There's a peak part of the day where you're like, right, I've got this, I'm on it, I can do everything. And then the moment you fall off the cliff, you're like, I'm knackered now, this is too much. And I fell off the cliff and I was like, I was doing drive-by, I was like, I love this and I just want to give it back.
There's a point where, you know, if you're introduced to a new vehicle, when you first get in it, you're very trepidatious. You've learned to be that until you've understood. Then, having driven it for a while, you become confident. And that's where you make the mistake. You become overconfident quite quickly. And the trick is, exactly as you describe, give it back before you put it in the hedge.
Yes. Yeah. So I gave it back and it was all good. But yeah, Valkyrie, I'd love a go. But I would also be very, very grateful just to give it back and be like, I've driven this, my ghast is flabbered, let's go home.
I've been up the hill a couple of times at Goodwood. Was his name Tony Shute, who is a project manager at Lotus, drove me up in an Evora.
Nice.
When they first came out. And then Heikki Kovalainen drove me.
Oh, that'll do.
Yeah, he drove me up the hill in Evora. It's an episode of Garage Doors of Speed video. It's in the archive somewhere. And I promised Heikki that if he got me up the hill safely, I would sing him the Finnish national anthem in Finnish.
Nice.
Which I can do. And I did.
Okay.
And I did. And the video finishes with the two of us singing the anthem together, which is a highlight. Lovely moment. Listen, just talking about going up the hill quickly, were you there when Romain Dumas got the record for this year's Goodwood?
No.
Okay. He went up in a Ford Super Mustang Mach-E. Did you see that?
Yes. I saw the Super Mustang. It looks very cool.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a Mach-E. It looks like a Mustang, a regular V8 Monster ICE Mustang, but it is ultra-electric.
But it's electric and such.
Yeah. It went up in 41.97 seconds, which is very, 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 very quick. Last year, he did it in the UF-150 Lightning Super Truck. That was 43.22 seconds, so a second or so behind. And before that, again, the Supervan 4.2 electric, 43 seconds thereabouts. Before that, the McLaren Solus GT in 2023, driven by Marvin Kirchhoffer, is that how you say his name? He did it about 45 seconds, 34, but no one has come within 2 seconds, really, of the record set in 2022 by Max Chilton in the McMurtry Spearling.
Yes, yes.
Which went up in 39.08 seconds.
That thing is, it's just something else. I covet to go in that. I'm going to try and wangle a quick steer in me McMurtry.
Well, it just so happens that when I was at Le Mans this year, I found myself hanging out with a chap called John Adey, who works for McMurtry and has been a very long time listener to this very podcast. Hi, John, by the way. Hi.
Hey.
It was amazing to meet him. He was staying at the Team Langoustine campsite and saw the band play. And we were able to sit down and chat for ages. I had no idea when we met that he worked for McMurtry. So we were chatting for a while. And I said, well, what do you do? Oh, I work for a little sports car company. All right, who? McMurtry. Such a big fan of that car because it, you know, changed all the rules, right?
Mm.
It's too small to be that quick and that safe.
Yeah.
And it uses technology that no one else dares use almost. It's amazing. I adore it. It's inspired me. I'm writing a song. It's not done yet, but it's coming. It's an Irish rebel song because McMurtry Spearling is an Irish car in my heart. So I'm writing an Irish rebel song about being little and powerful.
Mighty.
Little and Mighty. Yeah, Mighty Mouse. It's coming. But anyway, sorry, I went off on there, but I just want to say hello to John. It was amazing to see him at Le Mans, and so glad he's connected to one of my favourite cars. So there you go. That's it, mate. I will invite you to put your feet up now. You've effectively got 5 weeks off, Mr. Goy.
Yeah, sorry.
Because in 2 weeks' time, the show will be replaced by this year's summer music compilation.
Oh, of course, it's the summer.
Which means I get 3 weeks off. So,
yeah.
Next time I talk to you live, it'll be in 5 weeks or something like that. Have a fantastic summer, Mr. G.
And you, Mr. J. Oh, I sound like Harley Quinn from the animated Batman. And you, Mr. J.
Hey, nothing wrong with Harley Quinn.
That's steady.
Did I just say anything out loud? I said, I did, right.
Yeah. Why can't I tell that due to the unfreezing process, my inner monologue is no longer working?
Hey, I was told the other week that I was unfathomably attractive for a man of my age by a much younger woman.
I mean, that's... It's a wonderful compliment, but also I can see the backhanded side of it from here.
Yeah.
All she needs to say is just stop at unfathomably attractive, not for a man of your age.
Yeah, no qualifiers, please. But even with the qualifier, when you're 65, I'll take it. It's all you get, buddy. And that's all you get for now. He's been Alex Goy.
Bye.
I've been Gareth. Don't miss the On Speed Summer Music Spectacular in 2 weeks' time, and I'll speak to you after our summer break. Bye!
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whiz Bang.
Gareth Jones on Speed!